Today we're exploring identity, and now we're going to hear from some young people who are navigating that terrain and figuring out how they want to act. Students at Washington High School in San Francisco's Outer Richmond were recently asked to respond to the question, "What was a time your identity mattered?" Our producers went out to Washington to hear their answers.
Hello. My name is Joey Yasuhiro. I'm 18, and I am born and raised in San Francisco, California, and I attend George Washington High School. There was a specific incident that occurred in modern world class 2 years ago, when the class discussed Pearl Harbor and the beginnings of World War II. When our teacher brought up the underlying reasons behind the attack, a few of my classmates jokingly blurted out, "Why'd you do it, Joey?" The class had a good laugh at this. But right then and there, I got very, very upset. I replied, "And what does all that have to do with me, huh?" Our teacher told everyone to be quiet so we can move on. But I was still infuriated, and also saddened by moments such as this. In the past, I've had stereotypes thrown at me left and right. What, don't all Japanese people do that? Or a joke related to sushi, samurais, ninjas, anime, you name it. I thought that with age, we teenagers would eventually respect these sensitive and controversial issues that often pop up in school. But on that day, I realized that it would reoccur in harsher ways infrequently. It was a big slap in the face. It was a sinking feeling where I could not escape the seemingly endless cycle of discrimination. I am constantly labeled for what my people have done throughout history and not for simply being American. In fact, when my uncle studied in North Carolina, he once had a stranger go up to him and say, "Why'd you bomb Pearl Harbor?" What is almost funny, but also ironic, is how the general public leaves out how the war even ended. Hell, I could ask the same question about Hiroshima and Nagasaki and expect either a half-witted explanation or a complicated one that leaves them pondering. If this type of incident were to happen again, I am confident that I will handle it with class. It is futile to resist against the onslaught of stereotypes and racial jokes, so it is best for me to accept these comments, but also myself. For a long period of time during my childhood, I felt ostracized. I had an identity crisis between being full Japanese and being American. But in recent years, I've been able to adapt to my surroundings and form my own unique identity. I also found that defending against others' scorn of me meant to defend my own heritage. It became an awareness of my culture that would eventually become a fascination of its own. Now, I can freely express my culture to others at school without fearing any kind of insult. As I have said many times before, I'm an American who is so Japanese. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Winnie Zhao, and I'm 17 years old. From grades K to 4, I attended a private school where most of the people, that being staff and students, were white. I noticed that most of my classmates' parents were often involved with school activities and their child's schoolwork. I wanted my parents to do the same, but they couldn't because their English was very limited. I always tried to get them involved, like chaperoning for a field trip, which they did a couple times, but when they did do it, I would feel embarrassed because they couldn't keep up with what was going on, as horrible as it is to say. It wasn't just when they were at school that I felt uncomfortable, but even when it was just them and me. There were simple things, like reading or filling out forms that got sent home, that made me feel like I didn't fit in with the others, because my parents wouldn't understand what those forms were saying. Also, because I spoke only Chinese at home, I saw the world through the Chinese language. There would be many times when the kids at my school would mention a certain something, and I would have no idea what they were talking about. I may have actually known what that something was, but just not what it was called in English. These things made me feel insecure, and for a while, I was embarrassed to be Chinese. I wouldn't speak the language in front of people I knew outside of the family. Even long after this time, there would be some moments when I still feel that way. My parents immigrated from China, became U.S. citizens, and I was born in the U.S. But actually, I should just say that I am an American.
My name is Nancy Trong. I'm from San Francisco, and I'm in the 12th grade. I'm a student of Summer Search, a program that provides low-income kids with scholarships for 2 summer trips. In the summer before my junior year, I went on a wilderness trip. My destination was Utah for a rafting and backpacking trip. When I arrived, I was one of 2 minority students and one of 4 girls in a group of 20-something individuals. Even though my mentors prepped me beforehand for the culture shock that I would experience, I was not prepared for what was about to happen. We were split into two groups, and I was put with the other minority girl so we could stick together. That didn't really help, though. I tried to bond with my groupmates, but it seemed as though there was always a barrier. In the beginning, they made jokes about Asian stereotypes, but it soon escalated to mean remarks towards me. Some of them looked down on me for being poor and not white. They all came from wealthy families and bonded with each other easily and quickly. We were worlds apart. I was a Chinese Vietnamese American who moved to the U.S. at the age of 7, while they all had generations and generations of families in the U.S. They all craved foods like steak and hamburgers, while I was the only one who missed home-cooked foods like pho and fried rice. Technically, that should have been a beneficial environment where we could have learned from each other, but they never made the effort to meet me halfway. Originally, I thought I was trying to victimize myself. I thought maybe I was just being dramatic. But soon I realized that it wasn't me, it was the situation. We were all strangers, and I lacked common ground with them. Being one of the few students that were different made me an easy target for alienation. The thing that bothered me the most was how the instructors of my trip didn't step in to interfere. Although it never went beyond verbal remarks, I felt it was their responsibility to step in. There were also students who were passive spectators during the entire trip. But then again, I should have stood up for myself instead of expecting others to defend me. I like to think that I would confront them if I had a do-over. I regret not having the courage to say anything. The biggest lesson I learned was how deceptive living in San Francisco was for me. I assumed the same cultural acceptance existed everywhere. In reality, San Francisco is like a bubble. I'm glad for the wake-up call I had. One of the most important realizations was to not let one bad experience traumatize me. The conditions of the trip fostered a hostile environment, but I didn't blame my groupmates for what happened. The trip was a big influence on my decision to go to school far away. I know that I will face many situations like these in the future, and hiding in San Francisco will not help me.